Now in their second season, Leadership of the Leaf, with more cigar knowledge and more leadership insights. Two great leaders smoking great cigars. Here's our host, Austin and Dice. Grab a drink and jump in with a cut and a light.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Leadership of the Leaf. My name is Dice.
And I'm Austin.
All right, Austin, we have a great show today. We have a wonderful cigar segment. Good leadership topic.
I'm excited.
But
yes.
Everybody wants to know what you're smoking, yes. Sir.
Ooh, what I'm smoking. So I decided to pick up a nice JFR Lunatic Habano. And I decided to pair that with a nice Dewars. It's a French cask. It's a apple sherry brandy. It's a little bit sweet, a little bit more sweet than the Habano, obviously. So I don't know how it's going to pair. This is my first time having it, so we'll see. But Dice, I got to know, what are you smoking and what Hennessy are you pairing it with? Because if you say anything other than Hennessy, I know it's wrong, because you're going to bitch about it the entire episode.
All right. I am also smoking a JFR Lunatic. Mine is going to be different than yours. This motherfucker was 5.5 by 80. 5.5 by 70. Final answer. El Grande,
Asylum,
the Lunatic.
Bro. Asylum.
Yeah. Maduro. And first time smoking it, of course. I did a crown cut. And I am pairing it with a VSOP because we have a very special guest with us today.
I thought you were going to say very special old person, but yeah, all right.
I think he's quite old. So,
I'm killing it.
I know, right?
All right. I'd like to introduce everyone to a friend of mine that I have met throughout my cigar journey since I moved to Vegas. My friend, his name is Chaz. Chaz, how are you doing,
hey,
sir?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me, man. Excited to be here. Tonight, I'm smoking AJ Fernandez New World, one of those Nicaraguan Puros.
You know, is that pretty, box press too?
Yes, sir.
Nice. Ooh, box press. Ooh, I love me a good box press.
AJ Fernandez. I don't think I've ever been disappointed by AJ Fernandez.
No, I feel like his stuff's pretty consistent. I've been enjoying a lot of it lately, for sure.
Nice.
All right. Well, that was an introduction of our cigar segment. Our leadership segment, which we'll get into later, is how does a leader measure success?
Ooh, now, I like to measure using a ruler.
Yeah, you would say that. I like using a ring gauge. How about that?
Ooh, there you go. That's even better. Money in the bank, dollar bill.
Smooth.
Shorty, what you drink? All right. Chaz, if you don't mind, throughout your journey, your cigar journey, how did you begin your cigar journey?
You know what, it was a funny story, man. So when I moved out, I'm originally from California, moved out here in 2019, right before the whole pandemic thing in 2020. So, I got to see Vegas a little bit of what it was, or, you know, a piece of what it used to be. And I was looking for a job. I mean, I was desperate. I'm not going to lie. I used to smoke cigarettes. You know, I was a pretty big pothead growing up, I would say. Not going to lie. You know, it's just, I grew up in California. It was like in your backyard.
Hey, that's the thing to do, man.
I'm not going to lie. You know, it's just how it was growing up. So to smoke a cigar was always interesting. But I was looking for a job, and there was the Tobacco Leaf out here in Las Vegas who was hiring. I applied, and they asked me straight up, "You ever had a cigar before?" I was straight honest with them. I told them, never smoked in my life, never had a cigar. And they let me leave the interview right there. That was the last I heard of them. They were like, yeah, this guy. So 2 days later, Will, the owner of Tobacco Leaf, gave me a call.
Yeah.
Pretty much said, hey, the guy that we hired quit. I need someone. Are you willing to learn? And it was from there, it took off. I started the next day. I had a good team around us, you know, a lot of veteran smokers that kind of took me under their wing, which I think was huge.
Especially in the back, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, you guys been there. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a couple of guys there that actually kind of, helped me out there and gave me some credit. But even the employees, there was a guy, his name was Joe. He used to work for Will a few years ago. And, He showed me quite a bit. He was like, hey, even if you don't like this type of cigar, try it so you have the knowledge of it. And if someone else likes it, you can kind of see why they, or have the view of why they like it, and maybe pair them with something similar. So that's where I got started, man, with Will at Tobacco Leaf.
Nice.
And that's when I first met you. And I was like, this is a cool kid, man. I kind of like this cat. And you always shine to me. We kind of grew a little bit together. I think I showed you the cross cut that I'm using now. He was like, I'm going to remember that.
Yes, sir. That was memorable. I won't forget that night, man. That was new to me, you know. And it was pretty impressive, the crown cut. I'd never seen that.
Where did you go next?
So, Will, you know, we got through the COVID period. We're doing a bunch of deliveries throughout that time. And I went for 2 years with Will. And unfortunately, he started closing some of his stores.
Yeah.
At that time, you remember that?
Yeah.
So at that time, I had to make a decision if I was just going to hang in there and kind of maybe, you know, bite the bullet later on, or if I should just move on at that point. So I actually got an offer from Roger at the Cigar Outlet, like within a week of Will shutting down two of his stores. So of course I jumped on board. Roger's a cool dude. Cool store.
Show me some love. Show me some respect.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And he, honestly, I appreciate him because he's got so many cigars that it expanded my knowledge. I mean, overnight or within a short time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's awesome. You've been there before, right?
Yeah. I went there last time I came and saw you. That place is ridiculously huge. We walked through there and it was right before closing time. And I was like, I sat there and looked at Dice. I was like, we don't have enough time to be here right now. Like, I don't have enough time to find what I want. And he was like, well, we got to get something and go, man. We're running behind schedule. And I was like, fuck, man.
No, it's a great place. I think they've got a great setup. I spent pretty much a summer with Roger there. And again, he took me under my wing, or under his wing, excuse me, and just kind of taught me quite a bit. And exposed me again to so many cigars that I don't think I probably would have seen in maybe a few years or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah, you gotta expanding that palate. I mean, definitely it's gonna happen there. You gotta try to start smoking through the inventory just to try to try one of every inventory. You're already gonna be leaps and bounds ahead of anybody else at like any other regular store, I feel like.
I definitely try to use it for my advantage, you know what I mean? But I try to, again, I try to pass that knowledge with my customers today. I mean, with every little thing, I try to be honest with them when it comes to the flavor and palate, whether I like it or I don't like it. You know what I mean? I'm just like, hey, this is what it is, if this is what you're looking for. But Rogers was a lot of fun. And then from Rogers, we...
Yeah. No, I went there and I was like, Roger, man, what's up with Chaz? Chaz, he moved on. He went to that new lounge at Resort World 8. But he didn't say anything bad or ill will about you. He was like, Chaz is a good kid. He's going to do great things. And I was like that, Roger, man, you are good people, Roger. So my boy, me and Austin, we went to 8. We went to 8, and I asked, I was like, hey, is Chaz working? It was like, Chaz isn't working till later tonight, or I can't remember exactly what it said, but yeah, we was checking for you, homie.
I know, when I listened to the episode, I was like, wait, this guy's been to 8? Like, damn, when was it? When was it? You know?
It was back in the summer, like, a while ago, but we went there and smoked a Aging Room Quattro.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
I love that cigar. I love it. Again, made by AJ. I mean, anything this guy's touching.
Yeah.
Did Roger help you pull the 8 job, or did you use your knowledge from Roger to pull the 8 job?
So I guess to backtrack just a little bit, man. When my last month at the Tobacco Leaf in Boca Park, a young man came in. I started helping him out just as any other customer.
Yeah.
And then he tells me while I'm ringing him up. I mean, this dude loaded. I mean, I don't know how many boxes this guy got. It was probably my biggest sale I've ever had, right? And I'm like, what the heck? And I'm sure Will probably remembers this too. And this guy goes, hey, so I'm opening up a lounge next fall, next winter or something like that. And when you're in a lounge, I'm sure you guys have heard this. How many guys say they're going to open up a cigar lounge?
Oh,
tons.
I think Austin got offered a job in a lounge before.
I did. Actually, it was in Tobacco Leaf.
Yeah. There you go, man. You could. I'm sure you would fill the position just right, man. You'd be all right. But that's what I'm talking about. You know, people say they're going to open a shop constantly, which is great. You know, I'm not knocking anybody on that. Like, to have that, aspiration or dream, that'd
right.
be great.
Yeah.
Like, the reality of this happening is pretty tight. So, again, this guy's like, yeah, I'm opening up this lounge next fall. Shows me pictures. And I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. Let me get your phone number. We'll stay in contact. Fast forward. Now I'm at Roger's place. That young man comes in and I go, hey, Giuseppe, I don't know if you remember me. I met you at the Tobacco Leaf a few months ago. How's that lounge coming along? And he goes, oh, buddy, we're months away from opening up. So the transition was almost like it was meant to be. You know what I mean? Just one after.
Oh, yeah.
Opening
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
And
that's
how I met Giuseppe. And Giuseppe's the owner of 8 Lounge, Giuseppe Bravo. And again, he would buy, in the beginning, he was buying cigars from Roger, you know, for himself and for other stores. But that's pretty much where it took off. As soon as the doors were ready, I was there, and I had to thank, Roger for the time, but got to move right. on.
Hey, yeah, we got to move on to bigger, better things. Ain't knocking that.
Now, I know we said 8 quite a few times. To our listeners not familiar, 8 is a cigar lounge and bar that's in Resort World, which is a casino built, one of the newer casinos built here in Las Vegas. Right? It's a lounge. It's a bar.
That's
too,
correct.
Right?
Yes, okay. sir. Full bar service. We do have food from the restaurant Brezza next door, so you can kind of do all 3 things in one place. I think it's really a really neat place.
Man, I got a picture of Dice when me and Dice were there, and he's sitting all the way back in one of those big armchairs, and dude, his feet weren't even like touching the ground. it looks like a little kid. I was dying.
Some of those chairs are for sure a little extra large, oversized.
Bro, I'm 6'2", and I sat all the way back, and my feet weren't even touching the ground. And I just looked over at Dice. I was like, do that. Sit all the way back. He goes, I don't want to. I was like, do it.
Yeah, I think those are, we should put those in a special category. Maybe when the basketball players or something.
She checked my ID like 3 or 4 times. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny, man.
No, it was a great time. We had a blast. Oh. Wish you would have been there, but it was definitely fun.
But no, I've been with 8 since day one, last year when they opened, or going on year 2 now. In November, so it's been a fun ride, pretty interesting, working on the Las Vegas Strip for sure. I've never worked on the Strip before, so it's a beast out there. I'll tell you guys that.
I'm sure. So what's your favorite thing about working in like the cigar industry?
You know what, for sure it's gonna be the like the camaraderie, the culture. I grew up playing a lot of sports. I was on a lot of teams, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. Being around a group of guys that just, I guess, are hanging out, you know what I mean? Especially smoking cigars. It's a fun culture to be around. Most of the guys are pretty friendly, and it's a great place to network. Again, I couldn't tell you how many jobs led, you know, or I've gotten just from meeting different people at lounges and whatnot. So.
That's super dope.
And it was random. I never thought I'd get into cigars. I used to sit behind I had a county job in Monterey County, sitting behind a desk doing paperwork, and respect to those people doing that. But I was a little too talkative. I was pretty much the class clown in there. So the state doesn't really like that, you know?
Yeah, so. No, I get that one.
Well, that's their loss.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's all good.
Working at 8, how many celebrities would you say come through the door?
I would say, it's unlimited, to put it that way. It is any given night, any given moment, somebody who's who will walk in there. But I think the greatest thing about it is that it's not only for, you know, the celebrities, and whatnot, but the, you know, obviously the locals can come in, but we do get a lot of celebrities, athletes, the ball players. But any given night, some people don't even believe that the lockers that we sell there are like lockers for Michael Jordan, Mark Davis. Some people go, oh, that's
yeah.
Fake. And I'm like, no, that's their.
The names are on it, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, they got the names on there. So people can check it out, but a lot of times they wonder if it's real. And then next thing you know, that person walks right in, goes into their locker, and they go, oh, wow, this
Oh, shit.
You know, this guy's not lying, like, you know.
Excuse me, you're in the way of my locker.
Yeah, kind of helps my credibility. You know,
there you go.
But it's fun. It's definitely a lot of fun meeting some of these people.
Nice. So what would you say the biggest celebrity has been, at least in your eyes? I mean, you know, sports celebrities, movie celebrities, they're all different varying levels of fame, but like the biggest one in your eyes.
Man, that's huge. I would say it's got to be Michael Jordan, the GOAT.
Oh,
I would. So yeah,
you was actually there when MJ came through, huh?
So I was there, but I was a fly on the wall. I wasn't doing any selling. I wasn't trying to show him anything new cigars. I wasn't there yet. You know what I mean? And that's respect to Jordan. He knows what he likes, and he's got his own guy that actually brings his smoke. So,
wow, I'm sure.
There's nothing I could do to convince this guy to try to smoke what I'm smoking, if you would.
Yeah. He's always got those like Lanceros, man. That's like all he smokes.
That's it. That's all he smokes. He has his personal locker there in our humidor, but his favorite cigars don't fit in there. They're a little too long, so he usually bring them in.
Was you there when Charles Barkley came through?
Yes, sir. That Charles Barkley, great, pretty cool dude. That guy, at least I said what's up. You know what I mean? And that's enough for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, what's up, boss?
he's my favorite basketball player. So I was like, I did see him in the Cigar Aficionado magazine or whatever. And I was like, I want to use that. So
yeah, you know,
I feel good. Feel good now.
Yeah, you know, next time he's there, I'll definitely reach out to you, man. Because during the summer league that they have out here in Las Vegas, it's definitely a pretty popular spot for these guys. But again, you never know who's going to come through that door. So. Any given night.
Please reach out.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
I do gotta say though, I have a lot of fun with Marshawn Lynch, Beast Mode. He's one of our members.
He's a regular, right?
He is a regular, and I definitely would say he's one of the favorite members. He's even been a bartender for us. And it's turned out to be quite an event. That you guys definitely need, both of you need to come for that. I'll definitely let you guys know ahead of time.
Yeah, I'd fly in for that one.
Yeah, I gotta say the Beast Mode family, they're a nice group of people to party with, that's for sure.
That's what's up.
Yeah. Like it.
If you had to select like a demographics of people coming in, would you say it's more older, more younger, or is it really just an even mix?
You know what? I do believe that it is getting younger. Honestly, I feel like it's getting younger. I see it daily. I've seen it over the last couple years. Even when I a few years ago with Tobacco Leaf, I would get a lot of younger dudes. We're talking 21 to 25, right? Kind of get maybe having their first cigar, starting to get involved, starting to gain that interest in it. Of course, there's always going to be the OGs, you know what I mean?
Right.
There's more vets than there is, you know, anybody. So, but I do see it kind of being getting into the younger demographic, especially with like the flavored cigars, especially with the vapes and all that going on. Hate to mention that, but
yeah. But it's just a fact. It's a fact, right?
It is a fact. I get a lot of customers that will say, hey, I'm vaping. What do you got for me? And that's my opportunity to get a new cigar smoker for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And most of the time,
here's an acid.
Most of, Yeah. Bingo. Bingo, man.
Here's the sweet cap acid. There you go.
Yep, that's exactly what we do, man. And sometimes they're up for a traditional cigar. Sometimes, you know, they're ready for it, and, you know, we'll get them on their way. But, yeah, it's most of the time it'll be an acid or a Java. They've heard of things like that before. But I do give them that, you know, a little I give them a little info. I say, hey, start working on that next type of cigar, something traditional. But if that's what you want to stay on, do your thing, you know.
Yeah.
So it's more like a Deadwood.
Yeah, there you go. Deadwood too. Yep.
Know that struggle.
Mm-hmm. Because I was there. That was me at one point, you know.
I want to say just about any new smoker, they're going to be there at some point. Because if you was to give someone, we talked about it before, you give someone something like an El Baton or a C, Creo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, something that's going to knock the socks off, they'll probably turn away from it, right?
Yeah, don't give them a pledge. Like, hey, here's an EPC that's pledge. Like,
yeah. Like, yeah, here's a T52 and send you on your way.
Yeah, no, that'd be bad.
Drawn anniversary, here you go.
See him puking out on the floor. And
it is pretty impressive, though, when we get a like a female that does smoke, and she's smoking heavy. I'm not gonna lie, I've had customers, or I've had a lady come in and ask for a Liga, a Padron, Oliva, and I'm like completely blown away. You know what I mean? It's just so awesome to see. To get that exposure to it, it's not very common, but I do see it, you know, becoming a little bit more popular. People bringing their ladies around, which is great. You know what I mean? To try to join in the smoking.
I can't get my wife to join in the smoking. She'll sit out here with me, and she'll play cards and let me do my thing. But she's like, I'm not joining in the smoke.
My wife hates it, point blank. Hates it.
Damn. Hey, it's okay. You're halfway there. She's letting you smoke, man.
Think I'd rather die first.
That's funny. So, like. Since you're talking about, you know, send them on their way. So what do you think your, like, the best pairing would be?
You know what? For me personally, I love doing a nice old fashioned with a classic Habano cigar.
You know, love it.
Dude, I mean, I'm a sucker for an old fashioned, man.
All day.
Good old fashioned.
Perfect. A good old fashioned.
That's right. Yeah, they got to be good. I think the first one I had knocked me on my ass.
We've had an old fashioned that wasn't even like an old fashioned, though. It was like, it was like all bitters, a tiny bit of sugar water, and then like a splash of whiskey or something. It was like, it was so bad. We took it back up to the bartender and said, remake this.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he was not happy.
If we ever go to smoke somewhere, definitely give me a heads up before so I don't order that.
We would go there. What would you say? You had such a plethora experience, especially working at the outlet. What would you say is your favorite cigar, price and everything, no matter, what's your favorite cigar?
Ooh, that's a tough question. Really good question. For me, I look for consistency. I look for some great, rich flavors. I guess I would go with the Padron number 9.
My man.
A natural. That I like it. I could smoke every day. Not too over the top, but not too light either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he's got some exotic stuff in there. He's got some very exotic cigars. You ask Roger, he's gonna show you the way.
All right, so Chaz, I heard your nickname. Dice told me your nickname.
Oh God,
The Flavor King. How'd you get that?
Man, that was that's a funny story. So during that pandemic year, I don't know if you guys remember that crazy documentary, The Tiger King, that came out.
Yep.
Yeah.
So during that was a pretty hot documentary or whatnot at the time. And that's when I was just getting into cigars. I was a rookie. And I had a couple regular cigars, and then everybody loaded me up with probably 100 flavored cigars.
Oh, shit.
It was unreal. I mean, every flavor you could think of. And they were like, hey, this will be easier for you. And I'm like, everybody's making fun of me for these cigars or whatnot. But I smoked them, and the owner of Will actually goes, you know what I'm gonna call you? I'm gonna call you the Flavor King, just like the Tiger King. So that's pretty much how it was born, man. And I used it, of course, for some social media, just to have fun with some of my coworkers. And then I thought, all right, once the Tiger King thing went away, I go, all right, let me change my tag back to my real name.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends are like, nah, dude, just keep it.
Just keep it.
Yeah. And I tried.
Might as well, man.
Yeah, I kept it. And, you know, some people, they hear that and they go, oh, this guy must be a flavored cigar. What does he know? But that was my rookie time, and I'm going to keep the name, you know?
Just a little there bit you go. Yeah, you know, football players, they always get their you know, their nicknames. Usually in their rookie season or their, you know, their sophomore season or whatever, and it sticks with them through their entire career.
That's true, man. That's true. I like that.
When I first read the Flavor King, man, my thought process didn't go to flavored cigars. My thought process was, this guy can smoke a cigar and he can pick out the flavor profile of a cigar. That's the way I lean towards it. So I think it still works, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, man, I appreciate that big time. For real, that means a lot. I think it can apply today for sure. I think I used that today. You know what I mean? But that's just to help others, man. It's not even just for me. Someone taught me all this at one point. But now it is. Now I'm having a lot of fun with it. Pulling out flavors. Definitely at that stage where, you know, we're taking off bands and we're like, hey, smoke this. Let's see what it is, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's a fun part to be at.
Oh, hell yeah. Once you get that palate developed, you know, do those blind taste tests. Like, you know, you take a Davit off and then you take like a Camacho or something. And you're like, what, which one's which? Have fun. Good luck. You know, see, exactly. See, is it worth the price? Is it not?
Exactly. That's exactly how it's done, man. And I think any real smoker, you know, should do that at some point or get to that point. You know, I'm sure you guys have been doing that for a minute now. How long have you guys been smoking, by the way? I know this might sound a little.
I've been
green ass.
What? 1995 ish. That's when I started, but I didn't really get into premium cigars until about 2000. That's when I was like, yeah, premium cigars only. Like, I'm done with the Swisher Sweets and the Black and Milds and Garcia Vegas. You know, I grew up, so.
Okay, right.
Yeah. So I started on gas station cigars 2008-ish or earlier. And then I really started getting into premium stuff probably 2012 or so, 2011, somewhere in there. Dice really took me under his wing. It's like, why don't you try this stuff and grow up a little bit?
isn't that cool though? How it ends up working out? Because I'm sure you've done that for some of your other friends, right? Where you go, hey, you know, this is your turn now to grow up or change out your
profile. Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say, how many times or how often has someone found out that you was a cigar guy and they're like, oh, I was interested in cigars. Oh, well, let me help you out, my friend.
All the time. And that's the beauty of it. Sometimes, though, it is a little weird because I don't know it all. You know what I mean? I'm not saying I do.
Yeah.
I don't. It's a forever learning game.
Oh, yeah. It's a lifelong learning process.
We're the same way. We don't know it all. Hell no. Nah.
Yeah. Right? So it's but, you know, on the daily, though, I will get people that either have more knowledge than myself and may want to share that. Sometimes it's rough, but I don't know. It's just kind of a thing. Part of the culture, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, you're the new guy, you know? So.
Yeah, that happens. There's like, well, I had to figure it out the hard way. You got to figure it out the hard way. Like, come on, man. Like, just share the knowledge. Like, it makes everybody better. A rising tide raises all ships. Like, let's do this together, you know?
Couldn't have said that more better, man. That's exactly what it is.
Let's put this to the test. Let's segue this. So, Jazz, my man, are you in your first third of your cigar yet?
I sure am. Actually, I need to do a relight, unfortunately.
Yeah, you get to talking. It's easy to let it go.
Right?
That's for sure.
But once you get a relit, if you don't mind, sir, what's your flavor profile for that first third?
Yeah, so the first third, I'm getting a lot of earthiness, a lot of smoke, a smokiness, if you would, that flavor. And it's got some good pepper notes, which I like, and that's why I kind of... It's one of the more bolder Maduros, I think, around, at least from, you know, my palate. And it's pretty tasty right now, consistent, burning really nice.
All right.
That was phenomenal.
That's also a bonus, right? I hate fighting a cigar.
Yeah,
fighting a cigar is terrible, man. But it's part of the game. It's part of the game. You smoke enough, and right. some.
All right, Austin, how about you? What's your first third, sir?
So I'm getting cedar, earth, and a light, just a light touch of almost, I can't tell if it's like a red pepper or like a black pepper on the back end.
You went a little deeper in it because I'm getting spicy. Spicy. I'm definitely getting earth, but I'm also getting hints of coffee and nut.
But yours went with a Maduro, though, whereas mine's a Habano.
That's true. And mine's also fat as fuck.
Fuck yeah. Mine's a 4 3/4 by 52, by the way.
Those lunatics, so it's just, man, that's some size.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't go Asylum.
I was like, I wanted something that was going to last, so the guy kind of pointed him out. I was like, okay, I get it. That's crazy. I get it.
I like it.
I had a customer, though, that's all they smoke, lunatics. Anything 7 by 70.
Is he a bigger guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For me, I feel like Boss Hogg over here, man. Like the little guy.
Yeah, it's funny, man. I'll get some youngsters coming in and getting the cigar and... I want the biggest cigar that's ever made, and I'm going, that's not the way, guys.
You're not trying to, like, nobody's impressed by that.
Yeah, nobody.
If you kept it around, though, if you just like, hey, here's the Woody, you know, be like, here you go, here's the Woody, the biggest cigar, here's the Woody, or the egg, like the Drew Estate egg or whatever, be like, here you go, have fun with it, bud. Just to fuck with them.
I've actually smoked those Drew Estate eggs a couple times. I smoked the Maduro and the natural. I shouldn't say, but yeah, I won't have it again.
Okay, we'll just say that. It was just for Easter. It was just for Easter.
Yeah, it's a nice celebration cigar.
Right, Chaz. Before we let you go, my friend, Here's an industry question for you. I know you've only been at 8 for a few, and I know you've been in the industry for just a little bit. How do you see the cigar industry moving forward? In your opinion.
Yeah, honestly, because I work in sales, right? That's pretty much what I've been doing, at least in humidors as a salesperson. It's obviously going to get more expensive, but I feel like that's an ongoing issue. I've seen over the past couple years, I've seen some cigars go up a few dollars, sometimes double. I mean, it's really getting up there. So this is definitely a premium item, a luxury, if you would, to be able to smoke cigars. And
definitely,
but I really think that I see a lot more of collaboration, which is nice, and collaboration between the brands and companies, which is kind of nice to see, because what I've been told is, you know, maybe a few decades ago it wasn't necessarily like that. You kind of kept everything a little bit tighter to your vest.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing these guys starting to collaborate with each other a lot, and I feel like it helps. It's only going to benefit each brand. It's not going to weaken any brand. So I think it's very cool to see that, you know, these brands coming together, making cigars with each other, showing each other, you know, how they can you know, work together, create something new for the you know, customers like us. You've seen Fuente and Padron do it. you see AJ do it.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun, and it's as long as we keep supporting our local shops and trying to do that, it's gonna give us a place to smoke and be good to go for, you know, some more time.
Yeah, I see Roger. I don't want to say regularly, but I do see Roger quite often. Let's say it that way. I won't say regularly because I don't go every day or every week. But if I'm in the area, I'm definitely stopping by to say what's up to Roger, show him some love and respect. I would come to eight a lot more, but my pockets got to be a little bigger for that. That's definitely a celebration to go to eight.
They got those strip prices.
I totally, yeah, you know what, honestly, it is strip prices. But the nice thing about the eight lounge is you can always bring your own cigars. There's going to be no cut fees. No one's going to look at you sideways if you're bringing in your own cigar. I usually bring in my own cigars myself when I'm in there. So if that makes anybody, you know, make it a little bit easier.
That does make it easier because I had no idea. I thought you would have to purchase that.
No. And of course, that's what we all assume, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, no cut fees or nothing like that. So if anything, enjoy the atmosphere. I'm sure you probably get a drink, get a nice
little the drinks are amazing.
$20.
Yeah. You know, it was worth it, though. It was worth it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but it's good having everybody there, honestly. And hopefully I'm there next time you guys can, you guys want to stop by or anything, and I'll give you guys a little VIP treatment.
Oh, yeah. We'll hit you up before we head over. Make sure you're there.
Yeah, that'd be great, man. Anytime.
All right, Chaz, my friend. Austin, you have any more questions?
No, not that I think of. I think we had a great conversation. I learned a lot.
Yeah, man. Chaz, I greatly appreciate you coming on. I would definitely look forward to seeing you at 8. I look forward to, hey, maybe we can get you on the show again sometime. This has been great, my friend.
No, thank you guys. This is a lot of fun. Love listening to the show, so I'm going to keep supporting, and I'll tell any other of my cigar friends and cigar smokers to kind of join and, you know, see what's going on. It's just like being in a lounge, like I told you guys. It's like I'm with you guys, you know.
Hell yeah, that's what we love to hear.
Yep. I didn't even need the Skype. It was like being there, you know what I mean?
Perfect.
All right, we're going to take a quick little break, come back, talk about our second, third, and we're going to jump in some leadership right after this break. All right. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Leadership of the Leaf. I'm just letting you know, if you want to see what kind of cigars that myself, Dice,
and Austin,
what we're smoking on each episode, check out our Instagram on Leadership of the Leaf. All one word.
At Leadership of the Leaf. And please leave us a comment. Send us a message with what other questions or what you guys are smoking on. Maybe you guys have some suggestions for us that we'd love to give it a shot.
At Leadership of the Leaf on Instagram.
Hola, mi gente. I'm Wanda Hernandez. I'm CEO of Sticks and Stones Productions, and we are here with Dyson Austin, and you are listening to Leadership of the Leaf.
Welcome back to Leadership of the Leaf. We've been talking with Chaz, the Flavor King. And before we took a break, we got to learn a little bit about him and his cigar journey, where he sees the cigar industry kind of going. But now I need to know, Chaz, where is your cigar going? You in your second, third?
Yes, sir. It's starting to get hot in here, man. It's starting to bowl, get a little more bold there.
Oh, okay. Get a little bit more pepper and spice.
definitely the intensity on the pepper and spice has picked up. Getting more of that black pepper for sure, but that's what he signed up for. You know what I mean? That's what I wanted.
There you go. This is actually staying relatively consistent. I'm still getting that earthy, woodsy tone, but that pepper has kind of died off into almost like a creamy finish.
Really? Wow, creamy, huh? No,
it's like not super creamy, but it's almost like chewy.
Huh. Well, mine's nice. Picked up. Mine is definitely, the nicotine is kicking in more. I would say bold. It's definitely moving towards the fuller side. And spicy. Not over spicy. Not like the spicy I don't like, but it's spicy enough. I don't want to put a pepper note to it. I can still get some coffee in the back. But, I mean, I'm actually enjoying it. Even though it's a bigger ring gauge than I prefer, it is tapered on the end, which makes my mouth feel better. You know, because about putting bigger cigars in your mouth. Bigger cigars in the mouth, you know, you don't want to get that feeling that it's not a cigar, you know? So
are you puffing on something else?
I like that it's tapered at the end. It works for me.
All right. So let's jump into our leadership topic. So we're going to talk about, how does a leader measure success?
Leadership, I mean, it's a team effort at the end of the day. No matter where you're at, who it is or what it is, any great leader has a great team behind them, and the team has respect throughout, if you would. Kind of that everybody do their job mentality from the top to the bottom, and everybody's gonna, you know, be good. I feel like everybody will eat, and you know, that's my view on a good leader and having good leadership, if you would.
So would you say the measure, that type of leadership, would you say the measurement would be the success of his team?
For me, yeah, I think it'll be the success of the team, because, you know, anybody could stand out on any given day, but to do it consistently, you got to have a team. There's no way there's not someone else supporting you, in a sense, you know what I mean? So, getting behind and being behind a leader like that is pretty good too, or it's a good feeling, I feel like, you know, having someone in charge and being able to get behind them and support them and do that, for a mission, it's, that's how I view it, if you would.
So, you know, there's so many different ways that a leader can measure effectiveness. It doesn't always include data, but there's usually some sort of intangible there, right? Like Chaz was saying earlier, he was, you know, it's being part of a team. It's got to have a good team behind him. You know, you got to deal with the losses. How do you be resilient? How do you bounce back from that setback that you may or may not have? So usually two ways that that teams measure leadership is usually results and relationships, right? And in other words, so, you know, effective leaders are those that can achieve the results while maintaining positive relationships with their team.
Yeah, and Chaz, I believe you did mention that about being part of a team. One thing being part of a team and being a leader, especially probably in your position, one thing you want to look at is the KPIs. And just for those that don't know what KPI, I mean, KPI is the key performance indicators. And that's one way you can measure success. It's definitely a quantifiable measure of performance over time with a specific objective. So working for you, you're at 8. You can kind of quantify, like, I sold X number of cigars today. So it was a successful day. But for being in a leadership role, you want to look past the number of cigars you sold today. You want to look at how well your team did, how well you educated someone, how long did it actually stay in the humidor, how long did you actually train someone. Like, I'm pretty sure there's other KPIs that you would follow that you probably don't even really realize that you're actually following, would you say?
This is so insane. I'm so happy to be a part of this right now, because no lie, guys, this morning I was looking up something in this this topic, if you would, basically to apply for myself and to my team, right? And it's so crazy. I'm sitting here in shock that you're bringing this up, because today was the first time I ever even read of this and heard of the, like you said, KPI, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's pretty mind blowing right now that you're bringing that up. But yeah, there's definitely, you know, little, I guess, tokens or little things that we're going after that can apply to that a certain goal or what we're trying to get after, especially in the cigar industry.
That's good. That's the stuff like this, what a lot of people probably don't understand, which you're now catching it. Like, I just saw you had that aha moment, right? So what people don't quite understand about our actual podcast is we love cigars. That's our passion, right? But leadership is also something that we're passionate about. And a lot of times we say the slogan, great leaders smoke great cigars. That's a true story for the most part. Not all great leaders have to smoke great cigars, but it's definitely, you know, if you're smoking a great cigar, then you've got some knowledge about something because you're not going to smoke crap, right? So and for people listening, the leadership portion is more than just us over here talking. It's actually advice that's coming true. It's not something we just made up out of the blue. You know, you smoke a cigar, I'm getting oak and pepper and all that stuff. We didn't
leather.
Make that up. That's what you're getting from the cigar. So the leadership portion, when we talk about it, it's in the same realm. Like our leadership, like you, aha, I was just looking at that this morning. So it's perfect. I'm glad you're picking up something. I mean, I'm really, truly.
No, I was just saying, that's cool. It's awesome that you're talking about that and sharing that knowledge with me, man. That's what this whole, like I mentioned earlier, the culture, man, it's unreal.
Yeah, there's so much, you know, you don't have to be the CEO of a company. We say this, I don't know how many times in this podcast, you don't have to be the CEO of a company. You don't have to say, oh, I'm the squad leader of this team or I'm whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, if you're the team lead, the shift lead, the CEO, or if you're just a janitor, it doesn't matter. You can still be a leader. You know, and usually everybody has some sort of KPI, right? Like some sort of quantifiable, measurable performance over a time for a specific objective. I'm sure at 8, your boss looks at, hey, this is how much money we need to do every month so that way we can make sure we stay in business. This is how much money we make. We start, you know, we can do X, Y, Z. Hey, you know, we talked about let's expand the humidor, right? So, okay, I need 8 months of $10,000 a month sales. So then that way that profit can be put back into the business and I can knock out a wall and I can expand my humidor, which should increase my business by 25%. Something like that, right? So he's looking at that sort of stuff going, This is what I need to do. This is my goal. This is my quantity, and this is how I can measure my performance. If I have an $8,000 a month, well, I only got maybe $1,000 in profit. I don't know how much it is. I only got $1,000 in profit, so that's really only going to help me in this way, you know, and maybe bring in some new alcohol or repurchase or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it provides targets for the teams to shoot for, milestones to gauge progress, and insights to help people across the organization to make better decisions. And that's exactly what he was describing. Sometimes we often talk about the bigger picture. And Chaz, I'm pretty sure you got someone over you that has the bigger picture because you're more than just a cigar. You're also a lounge. You're also a bar. You're also in Resort World. You're also in a casino. You're also on the strip. So there's definitely a bigger picture. But I guarantee you, the people that you're number one, I know there's a number two and a number three. I'm pretty sure you have a bigger picture than number two and number three actually has. So your scope of perception is only as far as you are going to allow your team to see. So you, as being a team lead or even anyone as a team lead, I'm just using you because you're on the show, is definitely going to have different little measurements and stuff like that. I know for me, for my industry, there's certain levels that people have to make, and I'm like, hey guys, we need to do this and this and this. We're a little short of our goal. Here's some key factors that we can do to try to help improve that goal, only to help out the organization as a whole.
Yeah, that's perfect. And I feel like once everybody realizes that it's a team effort, right? Everybody's here to win. Again, for the organization, what's the end goal? Whether you're at the bottom of the line there or you're at the top of the line holding the rope, you know? But definitely having that oversight.
Yeah, I mean, usually one of those big things that at least a business operates on, the quantifiable stuff is that profitability, right? Like we talked about. You know, that's the indicator. Is a business profitable? If the business ain't even making money, then is it really succeeding as a business? Nobody's unless you're a charity, you know, then you got to be profit, right?
Exactly. It's all about the numbers. Once you crunch everything down at the end of the day, It's all about the numbers.
Well, the numbers, crunching those numbers down, that is definitely one way. There's more than one way, but that's definitely, especially for a business, a main way to try to measure the success, the successfulness of a leader. That's definitely because if your company's not profitable, then obviously the leader or the captain of the ship is sinking. So definitely profitability. Leaders who can generate profits for the company can create value for shareholders, stakeholders, and employees alike. So if you're in a leadership role or whatever role you're in that's pulling a leadership, you definitely want to be profitable. And those are ways to get profitable because everybody in that chain is going to look for some kind of profit. If you're not making a profit, then your successfulness as a leader is definitely not there.
And then, you know, like a lot of big companies now, like I look at the, I think Starbucks is probably one of the biggest ones I could think of, right? The corporate social responsibility. You know, they started trying to introduce, you know, biodegradable stuff. You know, start responsibly sourcing coffee beans, start responsibly sourcing milk and all of their other gajillion products that they offer. You know, so they try to take that on and they help create value, whether it's perceived value or actual value for the consumer. They take that value and they create that positive work environment. You know, they promote transparency, communication, trust. You know, sometimes there's that green aspect, right? Everything's kind of going to the green area nowadays. I see a lot of companies going and trying to make their companies green, right?
What is leaving that era of transparency of saying, look what we're doing. We're good for the environment. You can trust us. Give us your money.
Exactly. I mean, I forget what company it was, but there was one. Actually, I think Tesla just went through a scandal of saying that they, you know, people are accusing them of using child labor to get lithium for their batteries.
Well, that's a peel in the onion back, because if I'm not trying to defend Tesla, by all means, everyone out there, I have a Tesla, Austin has a Tesla. We're not defending Tesla. Yo, you remember the orange Tesla, yeah?
Oh, yeah. That's nice. That's cool.
I'm pretty sure they just buy the lithium. They don't go, we need to see your process of how you get the lithium. And then the lithium company is like, well, we buy it from them. And then they're like, well, we buy it from them. And they source it from there. I'm pretty sure like seven levels down the line, they're not saying, oh shit, they use child labor. We can't buy this lithium.
Yeah, I mean, now they might have to though, because everything is being more conscientious though, you know? Like, hey, I can't... I can't, you know, sit there and say, oh, hey, I'm not going to, you know, but some people can, hey, I'm not going to buy this product until you stop doing whatever, right? You know, right, wrong, or indifferent. Look at Bud Light and Target right now.
Well, they're just going to play a shell game in the long run.
100%, but I'm just saying, like, you look at the social pressure is what I'm saying. You look at the social pressure. And look at their stock prices. Their stock prices have dipped, and all because of whatever advertising company that they kind of, you know, the advertising campaign that they went with. They have that social pressure on them from whatever side. Like I said, I'm not judging anything. I'm just saying, right, wrong, or indifferent. It's a thing that is happening, right? So. It's a fact. Bud Light's stock prices have dropped since they launched this one ad campaign. Okay, so that's social pressure. That's their corporate social responsibility. On the other end of that, those companies still have to maximize efficiency and quality, and that would help make that leader a success. And by ensuring that their organizations run effectively, efficiently, and that will help promotes customer satisfaction, loyalty, and profits. Because in theory, we know this doesn't always happen, but in theory, if you become more efficient and more and have the same level of quality, you could charge less for your product, right? You look at Etsy and the people, the homemakers on there that make their stuff, right? They're not making it mass scale in China or wherever, so they're not able to sell it at a lower price because it's a very specialized thing that they do.
Chaz, I'm gonna jump over to you. Is there, what are some of the things you know that you have done or that eight may have implemented to try to keep loyalty?
Well, Well, you're, and you're talking with associates, right? Like in that department.
Just in general for eight. I know you want customers to keep coming back.
Yeah, yeah. So what we've done is we've actually implemented a members discount, right? Which will soon be a locals discount as well. But a members discount on Mondays where they get 50% off. But it's little things like that, giving someone, giving them that VIP treatment, not upcharging on every single item, every single day. When you have friends and family come over, of course you would like to treat them to something nice, and that gets the word out, man. It's very easy to bring some friends and family in. And let's just say Giuseppe, the owner, says, you know what, I'm going to take care of these drinks. You guys have a great night. You know, if you need anything, please reach out. And from there, it takes off.
It'll change your entire immediately, I'd come back.
Treat me well.
Yeah, they treat. And that's the important thing, I'm sure, to your point. You know, if I got to talk to an owner or even an associate or a brand, an ambassador or somebody, and they're like, hey, let me just give you this stick to try. I'll let you buy two other sticks, but let me give you this one stick to try because I really think you'd like this brand. And they try it and they're like, I don't know if I'll like it, but I'll give it a shot. Boom, they like it. You're like, gotcha. You're a customer for life now because I got you to try something. And now that person is going to go, oh, I remember Chaz at 8. He got me turned on to this one brand and I love it. And ever since then, I've been just going back to him because he knows what I like. And there I go.
That's honestly, that's like winning a game right there. You know what I mean? That's the best part of it. That's like getting a major sale or something. I don't see it as a sale, but it's a win, right? It's a win for everybody. Because like you said, the trust is there. And they'll come back later and say, hey, this guy didn't just BS me to buy some $50 cigar. He actually listened to what I was asking for. And that's quality, I feel like. That's
100%. You know? Me and Dice have both been in lounges where the person either didn't listen to us or just tried to push us to higher sticks, right, Dice? And we were there together. And it was one of those things where we knew, like, we're not Joe Schmo walking in off the street. Like, you know, we know what we like. We know the kind of, we're looking for, I love getting sold stuff. A good salesman, I could sit there and talk to for hours. I love a good salesman because I love that they can sell me stuff. They listen to me. We respond. We have a rapport. And they know how to take care of me. I'll tell you this, for instance. There's a guy down in Florida. His name's actually Austin. He sold me a Chevy truck.
Right on.
And yeah, he sold me a brand new Chevy truck back when I was in my early 20s. And I still, to this day, I keep in contact with him. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm looking at this car. What do you got? And he's like, oh, actually, I can do this, this, and this for you. And I'm like, all right, man, I'm out of the area. He's like, I don't care. I'll ship it to you, dude. He's like, you do the paperwork through me? He's like, I'll ship it to you. And I'm like, oh, wow. Man, that sounds good. And he works it out. And he's got me as a customer for life, you know? Like, I'll sit there and hook up with him anytime I want something from him. I'm like, hey, man, what you got? And he's like, yeah, this is what I got.
Dope. But there's that longevity, because even with Chaz, I met him at Tobacco Leaf, and then I bumped into him at the cigar outlet. I just moved to the east side, and I bumped into him at a cigar outlet. He remembered me. To be honest, I didn't really remember him that well until we started chit-chatting more. I was like, oh shit, you was at the other place. And then I tried to meet him at 8. I mean, I even took you to 8 so we can try to meet up with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whole reason why we went. One of the whole reasons why we went. Of course, it was a new lounge at the time too.
Yeah, it was brand new lounge, but he was like, hey man, we need to go 8. And he's like, hey man, we need to go eat 8. We gotta try meet up with my boy Chaz. Like, he's like, he'll treat us right. Like, I know everything's good. And I was like, all right, let's go, man. Like, I'm down. Like, I'm all about this life.
That's the beautiful thing about it, man. Like I said, you know, I remember seeing people whether it be months. Now being at the 8 lounge, I've had people come back a full year. And I had a guy just the other night walks in, and I was with someone else, so I just greeted him, of course, and I was like, I'll be right with you. And he was still kind of looking around, and he was looking in the area of where I had sold him his last cigar. So I already knew. I was like, oh, this is my guy. This is what he was looking for. So when I approached him and I go, hey, bud, welcome back, man. Are you looking for the such and such? And he's like shocked. And he goes, what? Like, you remember me? And I was like, yeah, man. I said, I'm bad with names, but faces really good, man. And I was like, I think this is the one you had last time. Got the exact same cigar. And it was just it's one of those moments where you're like, man, this is cool. We're building relationships. And there's nothing wrong with that. So it's something good to have going on.
Yeah. No, I love it. I know successful leaders can also encourage innovation, right? So there's a way that you can sit there and kind of inspire others to be creative, come up with new ideas. You know, innovation is an excellent way to measure leadership effectiveness because it's an essential driver of success in today's economy. I look at companies like SpaceX or Tesla or even Google. You know, they're trying new ways to do some stuff that we've done for years and years and years and years and years, you know, driving a car, right? They're like, you can, you know, GM, Ford, all these legacy automakers are like, you'll never make a successful electric vehicle. And Elon Musk was like, yeah, watch this. And he did it. And now all those companies are going, oh, we're going to go full electric by this year.
It's that good old copycat. See, monkey do.
Oh, yeah.
But it's definitely like the vision of innovation, because if you even go back to like when Henry Ford was coming out with the car in general, he had a bunch of naysayers like, that thing will never replace my good old horse, my good old Betsy here.
And yeah.
Then it just took off. Like now you see someone on a horse on the side of the street, you're like, oh, shit, look, somebody's riding a horse. Not like, oh, shit, everybody's in cars. Nobody looks at it that way. So now when you see someone driving with their hands free, you're like, oh, that guy, he's driving one of those new fancy Teslas that drive itself. Look at the innovation.
Yeah, it's super, super important to keep that in mind, you know, innovate. Another way, you know, leaders can measure success is by looking at brand perception and loyalty, right? If I say great value, people are going to be like, that's, you know, whatever. I go for that for the cheapest thing. But then I say something like, I don't know, clear eyes. Right, there's an equate version, a great value version, and the clear eyes, the name brand shit, right? And that's just like off the top of my head, and you immediately go, ooh, clear eyes is better, but I'm gonna pay for it, right? Yeah. Look at cigars, Camacho and Davidoff, right? Hey, or Swisher Sweets, you know, you got Swisher Sweets that you know you're not gonna pay that much for it. It's a cigar, it's a machine rolled cigar, it's not that great, it's a gas station cigar. You go to Camacho, it's a little step up. You know, you can go to AJ Fernandez or Alec Bradley or something like that. And then you can go all the way up to like a Davidoff. And you're like, oh man, that brand, I like that brand. You know, Padron has a huge loyalty cult following.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure you know that, right?
It's unreal. Whenever I see anybody going to the Padron section and they're already picking them up, I just let them do their thing because there's almost no turning them to something else. It's very hard.
Yeah. I've met guys. I was smoking in Alabama. I went to a lounge up there and I was talking with the guy. I was talking with the gentleman behind the counter. Me and him were having a great conversation. It was wonderful. He didn't know a whole lot about the cigar aspect. He was relatively new, but somebody walked in and was like, oh yeah, I'm looking for the Padron brand. He's like, oh, well, what about I think he tried to sell him like a Plasencia or something like that. And the guy's like, no, did you not hear me? I want Padron. I was like, all right. Like,
that's that part that you're like, why are we being so mad? Why are we so angry? Right?
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, what do you mean? He's just trying to like let you branch out. No, I want a Padron. Well, all right, dude.
Happens all the time. I get that with the Cuban cigars as well, man.
Ah,
it's hard.
Yeah,
I get a lot of customers where they're foreign, right? So they're used to having Cubans on the shelf. Like it's not
right.
And boy, do I get ripped! I get dragged through the mud sometimes, and sometimes I just sit there and I'm laughing in my head, you know, to hear some people go point at. Let's say you point at Padron. And you go, this is a shit cigar. And I'm going, geez, like that's rough.
Wow.
You
know what I mean? Like, yeah.
That's pretty disrespectful, man. There's a lot of there's a lot of heritage and culture in that brand, so it's just one
well,
of those.
Yeah, yeah. It, I mean, that brand loyalty. I mean, if you're if you've got an effective marketing company, right? You know, then you can sit there and be like, hey, I'm going to keep this going. Maybe you have a bad year, an off year, right? Padron is not the end all be all, right? I know we keep picking on Padron. They just have the easiest one to pick on because their followers are cult, but. Like, if yeah. they had a bad year, right, they're still – the Padron smokers are still going to smoke Padron. They're not going to yep. go to a Plasencia. They're not going to go to an Alec Bradley or an A.J. Fernandez or a J.C. Newman.
Undercrown.
Or
they're definitely not going
Undercrown.
To
an Undercrown. They're not going to an Undercrown for sure. Like, so they're going to be like, I want a Padron. And you're like, but this is a bad year. Like, the crop was just bad. I don't know what to tell you. And they're like, I don't care. All right.
Sure.
Yep. And they're willing to pay the price for it. Willing to pay the price for it.
So another metric is productivity, right? So meeting the growth metrics, return on investment targets. A successful leader should measure themselves on meeting those goals. And if not, if they don't meet them, they need to take a deeper dive into uncovering those issues and the reasons why they're not meeting those things. Usually it's something along the lines of maybe they had a bad year. Maybe the crop was bad if it's cigars. Maybe there was a manufacturing slowdown. Maybe one of their star workers was out sick and he ends up being like a single point of failure, like a linchpin guy. And you're like, oh, I can't have one guy be out and take down my entire production line. Like, that's just unacceptable.
Well, it's also to the aspect of your team, because I hate to say the whole cliche, you're only strong as the weakest person on your team. So
right.
if Chaz, if you're over there and you're selling a guy to Padron or talking to him, whatever have you, then your second one is over and someone isn't in a Padron level, they're on the Undercrown level, and they're like, okay, they're all for it. And then you have this other guy over here that's like, you don't want to smoke any of these cigars. You don't want to smoke cigars. Cigars are bad for your health. Like, you, okay, like that guy, okay, he's messing with my productivity. I can't yeah. produce widgets with this guy over here, right?
Yeah. Get him out. Get him out.
Yeah, let's say you can't kick him out, right? You have to educate. You have to train. You have to, you know, motivate. Yeah. Whatever you need to do to that person, because as being a leader, you don't want to just get rid of your team as you see fit. Of course, we'll have another episode on that later. But you also want to try to give people the benefit of the doubt. Like, maybe you just wasn't educated enough. Let me pull you to the side for a second. Let me teach you a few things. Let me show you a few tricks.
You know, it's funny. I had a guy that worked at me at one of my stores, and he loved to vape. He did not smoke cigars, and we brought him on board to kind of bring him under our wing and get him there, right? Would not smoke anything. I mean, we gave him some of the best cigars around, in our opinion. Would not smoke them. But would love to vape. And I was like, listen, man, we're in a cigar shop. I love you. I want you to be here. But for the brand, it's bad for the brand for sure. And I'm, you know, you can vape, do your thing. No one's going to stop you. No one's even mad at you for that. But maybe keep it in an area where it's not displayed. People thinking this is a vape shop. You know what I mean?
I'll be honest. Immediately, if I go into a store and I see the ambassador or the associate or whatever, and they're vaping behind the counter, or they come into the humidor and they start vaping, I'm done. I'm walking out. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I don't need anything. And they're like, whoa, don't you want to buy? Nope, don't care anymore. Like, I don't know what it is. It's just like, one, you're stinking up the cigars, which is kind of funny because people say cigars stink, but hey, you're stinking up the cigars. You're altering the flavor of the cigar in the humidor by vaping. One, two, I don't know that I don't trust you. I have no faith that you could tell me exactly what I need, or recommend a brand to me or a new brand or anything of the sort. And I just don't want to be there anymore. So I'll go somewhere. I'll drive down the street because most places have multiple cigar stores and shops in the area.
And that kind of goes back to what you, I think you mentioned earlier, you know, you have someone in there trying to upsell you on something, you know, isn't worth that value, isn't worth the price, isn't even something you like or something you're after, right?
Right.
So being on point, having your team knowledgeable, having a whole team on the same page kind of ties into that.
I know for us, I think I've done it with you or you've done it before, but I know we will go into a place and sometimes we'll ask a simple, like a question we already any cigar smoker of almost any time frame, if you smoke that cigar for at least a week or so, you should be able to answer very simple questions. So if I ask a simple question and your answer is off in La La Land or something, I've 100% already lost faith in you. I mean, it's pretty easy.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, we did that at a store out there in Vegas, and it was one of those things where I was sitting there and I was like, well, what about this? And I don't even remember what the question was. I think I asked for a brand. And
It was San Compromiso.
Oh, yeah, it was the Steve Saka brand. So I was like, hey, do you guys have anything with Steve Saka, a Dunbarton tobacco? And he goes, I don't know. I don't think so. We don't even like, that's not even a brand that we carry. I said, oh, really? Because I've gotten it here before. And he goes, yeah, you know, I think that's just a brand nobody really carries. And I'm like, really? A brand from Steve Saka is something that nobody carries? And he's like, I don't know I don't even know who Steve Saka is. And I'm like, you don't know what? And I was like, all right, I'm going to pick something because we're here and I want to smoke. But
that was it.
I'm not trusting anything you. Yeah, I was like, I don't trust anything you have to say. Yeah, and I was like, how do you not know Steve Saka, man? But it's just bad.
There's ways of answering a question. Even if you don't know, there's ways of answering that question where you don't alienate the customer. You don't give that brand disloyalty. You know, Chaz, I'm pretty sure you're an expert at that by now.
Yeah, honestly, it's 2023. I've had those moments where, again, I don't know it all. Someone asks me, hey, you had this? And you know what you do? You take your phone out and you go, you know what? I've never heard of that actually, but let me check it out. Let me see. Boom. And then you're off to a more positive interaction with that customer, right?
Yeah,
Maybe you don't know. Maybe you have no idea. You've never heard of this, but it's not going to hurt to be honest and be like, let me find out for you, you know? Like, I haven't heard of this. But some people, well, I guess maybe it's the ego or the pride. Who knows, right?
I think that guy just didn't give a flying shit. But I've gone to another one down in, it was in Florida, and I asked him, I was like, hey, do you guys have any Southern Draw? Because at the time, was the Rose of Sharon. Rose of Sharon was big. And I was like, hey, do you guys have any Rose of Sharon or Jacob's Ladder? And they're like, what are you talking about? And I was like, from Southern Draw. And then they're like, I've never heard of that. I'm like, oh, really? It's a veteran owned company. Like, da da da. And they're like, oh, okay. And they're like, well, let me look into it. They looked into it. Within 2 months, they were carrying Southern Draw, like four or five Southern Draw brands. And they're like, I went back in there. I was like, oh, hey, you guys got this. And they're like, hey, oh, you're the guy that asked us to carry this. And I was like, yeah. And they're like, dude, our owner wants to talk to you. And I was like, all right, cool. So I talked to the owner. And he goes, thank you. Thank you for putting this on my shelf because I had no idea about it. He goes, but this has been one of our biggest sellers. We've been able to turn people onto this and it's been great. And I'm like, hell yeah, man. Like, this is one of my favorite brands. So like, that's cool as shit. Like, and that made me like want to go back there and keep supporting that little brick and mortar.
Just to something as simple as that, right? Like, is a huge thing to, I think, support the entire culture. Every shop, you get the right people in there that are open to that, right? And just honest, you're gonna get that. You're gonna get the support, and you should be positive, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you can measure the attitudes among the workforce, you know, usually a great leader kind of has one foot on the top of the skyscraper to keep a lookout on what's coming on the horizon, and the other one in the trenches to see what's going on down on the ground. Because if you're just up in your gilded tower and you're just making decisions in a vacuum and you have no idea what the trenches are actually saying, you're not going to survive.
There's nothing I hate more than a leader that's in the ivory tower that's looking down on his people, his peasants, and they really don't have a clue to where the rubber meets the road. Like, I don't know. The ice machine is broke and we're not selling as many old fashions as we would like to. Like, we need to sell more old fashions, but the ice machine is broke and they have no clue because they haven't kept their ear to the street. They haven't kept their foot in the trenches. They really don't know where the rubber meets the road. So to be an effective leader and also to be a successful one, you have to be an effective one. You have to kind of play both sides. You have to stay in your hierarchy where you are, but you also got to pay attention to the janitor. Maybe he needs a new broom. You don't know because you're in your ivory tower not paying attention to a janitor. Why isn't this place clean? His broom is broken. No one bought him a new broom yet.
He's sleeping like with three bristles or some shit. And then you'd be like, how is this place not clean? Like, I'm doing my best, boss. What do you want? I put in a requisition for like the last three quarters. Like, what do you want from me? Like,
happened to me. That happened. I went out and I was like, why are you taking like 2 hours to clean this pool? Like for the company, he was cleaning the pool and he showed me his brush. His bristles was like less than an inch. He showed me the old one. And then when he finally got the new one, because I said something, he showed me the difference between them. It was like night and day. I'm like, Jesus Christ, where was the leadership when your broom, your brush was like shit right now? It took me to come out to say this. Dude, I was so upset that day. I don't think you understand.
I'm sure Chaz has been like, you know, hey, we need to, I've been getting a lot of requests for whatever brand X, and you know, you go up to your boss, you're like, hey, I think we should carry brand X, since I'm getting at least 8 to 10 to more requests a day just for that brand. And he's like, fuck that, we're gonna keep doing what we always do. You're gonna start losing customers
real fast.
You're gonna lose faith in your leadership
really fast. That, you know, it's happened. I've seen it happen. I've been a part of it, unfortunately, at least on one end of it, and it's tough, you know what I mean. Everybody kind of loses faith, and it's that communication is so key. Like you said, you gotta have someone in the trenches, right, with their foot on the ground, with knowing what's going on. Honestly, I got a lot of love for some of the reps, right, with some of these companies. I gotta give them some respect, because not all of their reps for some of these major companies are coming in and asking those. For me, I think they're very the vital questions, right? Like, what's moving? What's sitting? What's the word? And like any other feedback, right? I'll be honest, guys, there's only a couple of people, reps, and we're talking hundreds of cigars, right? Like dozens of brands. There's only a handful of them that are actually pushing that, which I think show their brand, the success shows on it. And you guys will know what brands they are right off the, if I were to mention them, but you guys probably haven't.
I guarantee it. Yeah. That leads to high employee satisfaction rates. That leads to higher retention rates. That leads to less turnover. Increased productivity. If your boss is listening to you, then it's automatically, you're going to go, hey, I know that when I say something, I'm going to get listened to. And that's huge for a lot of people, because if they have an idea, the innovation idea, actually, hey, what if we, instead of, you know, we pushing brands, what if we did this instead? Or what if we, you know, kind of did this, and this? Would that make it better? Would that make it worse? You know, and the boss is like, I don't know, let's try it out and see what happens. You know, you're going to go, all right, I got listened to. All right, I feel good about my life. Let's see if my idea works. And then you're going to have more buy-in, because you're the one who came up with the idea. Or you and your team of associates came up with the idea and pushed it up to the boss. The boss is like, that's a great idea. Let's go.
So huge. So huge right there, right? Getting that support is huge.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Well, another aspect of a successful leader, they prioritize emotional and physical safety. They clearly communicate to their employees they are valued and their well-being is a priority. This creates a strong foundation upon which indicates a successful leader. So, saying that, there's been many times where someone has had something going on in their life that isn't associated with actually the organization. Maybe little Timmy's going through a divorce. Maybe Billy Bob's brother passed away and it's been hard on everyone. Maybe something as simple as someone's dog just passed away. If you being a leader, you just like, I don't give a fuck what's going on in your life right now. You need to produce how many ever widgets a day or you're fired. Now, that leader he's not a successful leader, because he's not prioritizing the safety, mental safety of that person. Not even talking about someone's physical safety. Like, oh, climb on that ladder and stand on the top one with one foot. No leader, a successful leader, would never ask one of their underlings or subordinates to do something so silly and frivolous.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. Put this ladder on top of four rolling chairs and change out that light bulb. Like, nah, dude, I ain't doing that. Like, you know how many OSHA violations you just asked me to commit? Like, not okay.
Get it done.
Yeah.
Like, nah. Under the weather, have that be like, hey, I'm not coming in. You know, I'm not feeling well, boss. To be like, hey, yeah, you're good. You know, we got the coverage. No question. Get better. Feel better. Come back when you're all good. That's small things, you know, huge.
Well, it's funny because I saw a tickety talk and it was like somebody recovering from a toxic boss, right? And they're like, the boss was like, their new boss was like, why did you just send me a doctor's note? They're like, oh, well, you know, I was sick last week and I wanted to prove that I was sick. So here's a doctor's note. They're like, no, I don't give a shit that you, like, if you were sick, you were sick. I just want you to focus on getting better, you know? Like, I don't need a doctor's note for, you know, for you to sit there and prove that, hey, you were actually were sick. Like, that's just stupid, trivial bullshit, you know? Like, but if you say, hey, I trust you and you're sick, then, like, okay, cool. You know, that goes back to surrounding yourself with a circle of bosses and making sure you have the right people in place that you can trust to sit there and make yourself productive and make your company successful.
Big time. That's all it's about. Small things. The culture.
It's always small things.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer in you take care of the small things, the big things would be no problem.
Yeah, big things will end up working themselves out a lot of the time. But yeah, usually when customers are happy with the products and the services they receive, it's a sign that a leader is doing something right. It's also a good indication that employees are treated well and motivated to do their best to work. Because again, Chaz, if you're not feeling right, like if you're sick and you sell a little bit less or something because you're just not there, you know, you got a head cold, you can't think straight or something like that, and you're just kind of like droning through work, you're not going to be near as productive. But if your boss, like, and your boss sees that and says, hey, are you okay? And you're like, man, I got a head cold, like I don't feel good, I'm in a daze, and he's like, all right, go home, get better. Versus the boss that goes, are you okay? And you're like, yeah, I feel like I'm in a daze, I got a head cold. And they're like, I don't give a shit, like, push more product.
Yeah, it happened recently. Actually, I was down with a cold a while back, and I think everybody knew I was taking a few days off already, and I had the boss, the GM, call me on day two. It was his day off as well, and he's just like, hey, bud, just want to check with you. I want to see how you're feeling, you know, if you need anything. You know, and that was huge, man. I'll never forget that. So when shit hits the fan, you know, you go to town for that person.
Yeah. I mean, that's the small things. You know, it's like those friends who at 2 a.m. come pull you out of a ditch. You know, you're like, those are my peoples, yeah. Right? Yeah. When you get a boss that calls you on their day off and says, hey, man, I'm just checking in. How are you doing? Are you okay? And you're like, well, actually, I've been kind of stressed. I'm doing this. Like, all right, cool. I feel like I may have overloaded you, so I was checking in. Good to know. Let's see if I can't, you know, transfer one of these other projects that's maybe less important off of your plate onto somebody else. Yeah, sure thing, boss. Like, all right, cool. I'm like, boom. That's all it takes. Hey, I took three less important tasks off my plate and transferred them to maybe, somebody else or three other associates. And now you have less to worry about. You're already going, I feel so much better.
Major relief, right? Major relief.
Yeah, exactly.
Being a leader, as we spoke before, keeping one foot on the skyscraper and then one foot in the trenches, it boils down to customer service, making your customers happy. So if I'm sick at work and I'm sneezing and I'm coughing and I'm constantly like wiping my nose, dealing with cigars, a customer sees that, a customer's going to be like, I'm a little off. So now your productivity is going slow because you're scaring customers away. Customers is what bring in the profitability, which overall is your productivity. And if you're like sick like that and your boss is one of those dictators that's like, I don't care, you're going to produce this number, we just regardless, then that shows a weak leader, or not a successful leader, not an effective leader. So a leadership that actually has his pulse everywhere, he's going to pay attention, be like, hey, Austin, I know you're feeling kind of sick today, you've been sneezing, I want you to get better. Not only do I want you to get better, I don't want you to get the rest of my team sick. Not only do I not want you to get the rest of the team sick, you're actually kind of scaring away the customers. When you're scaring away the customers, our profits are dropping. Like, this is just all around bad. I care about you, buddy. I do, but you're also messing with my money. So it's also twofold. Like, you can show that I actually care about the profitability of this company, but I also care about you. You're one of my star players. I need you better. So whatever you need to do, go home, drink a Henny, nightcap, old fashioned, whatever you need to do.
Drink some Pedialyte. I don't give a shit. Whatever you got to do, hop on one foot up and down the stairs. I don't give a shit. Whatever you got to do to get feeling better, go get feeling better.
If there's something that I can do to help you feel better, let me know. I got you. I'm calling just to check in on you. Did you get a good night's rest? Are you eating well? Whatever the case may be, but it shows the different levels that a leadership actually is playing on. That's like four different levels that a leader is actually playing. He's messing with the profitability. He cares about his team. He cares about his people. He cares about the customer, and he cares about the rest of the team. So that's like four different levels. So that is a clear way to show a successful or an effective leader.
Yeah, absolutely. Successful leaders usually have five things that are on track, right? They got a vision. Everybody knows and loves the vision, right? So, hey, my vision is that we have $10,000 a month in sales and profits. Boom, there's my vision. That's going to help us do expand the humidor and get some of these brands that people are asking for. And people and the associate's like, yep, that makes sense. I'm good with it. I'm going to try hard to do that because I really would like them to bring in X, Y, and Z brands. Cool, let's do that. Alignment. So all activities feed each other. Like Dice was saying, hey, I'm going to take care of my people that are sick. I'm going to make sure that they're taken care of because that way when they're taken care of, they take care of the customer, they take care of the organization, they take care of my profits. Boom, everything's in alignment. Core values is a huge thing, right? Core written core values. Hey, I need every associate to have integrity, service, and excellence. Boom. All right, cool. I can deal with all three. If you have those three things, we're going to be a successful organization, right? Something like that. Number four is a 90-day execution plan. Hey, in the next 12 weeks, if we can get these things done, Here's what my plan is, and then everybody understands it. It aligns. It goes with the core values. We're good to go. And then, of course, you publish the weekly numbers. Hey, here's our marketing numbers. Here's our sales numbers. Here's our operations numbers. Here's how many customers are coming through the door on a weekly basis. Bing, bang, boom. And this is how we're going to make this all happen. Once you get all of that into alignment and make sure it all aligns with your core values, and it supports your vision and your successful organization.
Which then drops back to the first two that we mentioned at the very beginning of this whole thing, results and relationships.
And that's the key that a lot of people, leaders in certain aspects, they lose out on the relationships. They only care about the productivity. They care about the numbers. And it's not a bad thing to have a numbers-driven guy on your team. Like, that's not a bad thing to have. But if you don't have that other side to take care of your people, I'm sure, Chaz, you probably had bosses that are pure numbers guys. They probably, hopefully, they had somebody to balance them out and say, hey, I'll take care of the numbers if you take care of the people.
Yeah, actually, I remember in a different job, I was working as a property manager, and there was pretty much the good cop, bad cop, right? You would go with the bosses, right? You would know who to come with your numbers and everything correct, right? Like they didn't mess around, but then you also knew who to go to for like the regular life stuff, if you would, if there's an incident, an issue with a resident. You know, there's different people in charge to kind of play those roles, but they both have that same responsibility with the same goal at the end of the day. On one page.
Yeah, and a lot of times, it's hard to get that one, both of those in one person. Usually people are either kind of nerds. I call them nerds. They like the numbers. They like the data, right? And then you have the other person that's like the kind of the free spirit, the sociable person. Like, hey, I care about the people. How are you doing today? Would you like a warm cup of milk to tell me about your troubles? Like, that person's not a bad person, but if you put them in charge of the numbers, your entire organization's in shit show mode.
Yep. Yeah.
I will have to say, I gotta say, my leadership style, and Austin, you probably mirror it because you kind of came up under me. I was definitely both. I will go out and say what's up to the people. We will high five. We'll play dominoes at lunch. We'll do whatever. But if you fucked up, you're coming to my office and you're closing that door and you're going to get the business. After you get the business, we probably go outside and have a cigar right afterwards. I'm cool, calm, collective until you fuck with my numbers.
I could testify that to that personally because I fucked up one time and Dice pulled me into his office. I shut the door.
He gave one time?
Fuck off. But I got the business. And it was on a Friday too. And I got reamed up one side and down the other. And I knew that I fucked up. So I was like, there's nothing I could say. I had no legs to stand on. I was like, yep. I fucked up. Got it. Understood. That night, I went over to Dice's house and we sat there with, I sat there with his wife and his kid. We played dominoes and phase 10 and smoked cigars out on his patio that same night. Like, as soon as that door opened,
yep.
It was Dice as normal, like me and him cool and everything else. But he was like, I got to let you know that you fucked up. I got to correct you. And I'm like, I got it. Like, you know, got it. But are we still hanging out tonight? He's like, yep. I'm like, all right, dope. Like, it was such a night and day difference. And you know, I've had people do the same thing with me. I've given an ash chewing to somebody. And it goes back to the associate and the leader too, because the associate's got to be able to differentiate between the two, I think. But like, I've given somebody the business and then they're like, you know, then they saw me at the bar and they didn't want anything to do with me. And I was like, hey man, I was like, there's no hard feeling. Like, I'm not mad at you still from earlier today. I just had to let you know you fucked up and this is how you fucked up. I was like, but we're still cool. Like, you're still my boy. You're still whatever. Like, let's do, like, you know, tomorrow's a new day. Let's go
learn and move the fuck on.
I remember growing up, man, I used to have, when we would get, I mean, this is from elementary school through high school, all my classes. I remember seeing who my teacher was for the next year and being like, damn, that's a strict ass teacher, right?
Yeah.
But as I got older, I realized those were the teachers I learned the most from. And I ended up being the most coolest with at the end of the year, which I never saw, right? It was just a part of growing up, I feel like. But same thing applies now in work, right? I've met some bosses where I'm like, fuck, they come off as tough or whatever, or they're all business, but then they show that side where they're like, hey, I'm compassionate, we're humans, but like, I'm, you know, this is business too. Like, we have something we have to get done, you know? And
yeah,
it's not personal, never personal.
No, right. No, and that's the thing that, you know, you got to take into consideration.
Well, a successful leader, effective leader, will be able to demonstrate that, will be able to show that, will be able to not only just talk about it, they can live it. Like, actions speak louder than words. Like, anybody can say whatever they want, but at the end of the day, I got your back no matter what. You're my peoples, you're my circle of bosses, you're my team. Nobody's going to fuck with my team, but I'm going to fuck with you.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I've had to do that to my people. My people sat there and we kicked ass for 3 weeks straight. And I knew that I was riding them hard. And I gave them, like, at the end of the 3 weeks, I was like, hey, let's have, you know, like I cooked burgers for them. I brought in pizza for them. Yeah. And I was like, hey guys, I really appreciate you guys. Turned out that they fucked one task up and it was caught by somebody else. So after that, like, after I gave them all the kudos, I pulled them all in and ripped every single ass in that entire room. And I let them have it. And I was like, all the good shit that you guys just did got wiped the fuck out right now. I said, I still love you guys to death. You guys are my people. Yep. You guys do, like, move mountains for me as a, like, I'm your boss. Y'all move mountains for me, make me look good. I make y'all look good. It's great. But now all of that shit just went down the tubes. So now we got to start over from scratch. Yep. I was like, but you guys still kicked ass. And I know that I was riding you guys hard. But like, and they were all like, okay, yeah, we get it. Sorry. And I'm like, no, it's like, it's good. You're sorry. You should be. You fucked up. But I still love you.
And those things are going to happen. Those things, you got to be real with them.
Yeah. Everyone's human. Everyone's human. Yep. I get it. Like, no. There was no love lost, nothing like that. But it was one of those things. Like, and the guy even came, like, the individuals who ended up fucking the task up, they came up and they were like, hey, we're really sorry, boss. And I was like, I know. Yeah, I know you're sorry. I was like, otherwise we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Chaz, I got an important question for you.
Yo, what's up?
What is your final third flavor profile?
So that final third kind of kicked my ass, not gonna lie.
Okay.
Had to stop for a bit, but it was getting really smooth actually. That smooth, like cocoa, the spice kind of completely went away. But it's like a nice chocolate bar right now, honestly.
Oh, that's good. You said you had to stop for a minute. Did the nicotine kick in pretty big?
Very, very strong. Yeah.
I will agree with sugar. You. This lunatic. Yeah, sugar. I don't know good if you know out. That or not. Good yeah, a little out. Bit of sugar take care of that. But mine has turned into a nicotine like Amtrak, man. I mean, I can understand it's a big ring gauge. It's also Nicaraguan. I'm sorry, it's a Maduro. So I get it. I know what I'm getting into. My burn line is a little poor, but that's okay. It's still a good cigar. It's very spicy, definitely full body, especially by now because everything is funneling in near the end. How about you, Austin?
Man, this Habano is delicious. Chaz, you are 100% right. This thing is good. I would happily pick up another one of these. It's kind of morphed, that last third has morphed into a cedar, earthy, for lack of a better word, truffle. But it's got that spice has completely gone away. It's kind of got a cedar, earthy chewiness to it. It's really, really good. I can definitely tell there's some nicotine on the back end because I'm kind of going, I'm feeling it with the scotch and stuff. But it's nice. It is really good. I'm nubbing this thing. I got it in a little poker so I can keep smoking on it. It's so good.
I see that. It looks good, man. It looks solid.
Yeah, that burn line is crisp. I've only had to touch it up. Actually, let me rephrase that. I haven't had to touch it up at all. I've had to relight because I've been talking so damn much. The only complaint I've even had with this cigar is there's a tiny little bit of the cap that's peeling off. No big deal. That's not anything that I'm concerned about, just because it's been sitting in my humidor, and it's probably just because I pulled it out and I've been puffing on it so damn much. So that's probably a me thing.
All right, that leads to one more question.
Ooh,
you ready?
All right, Chaz, yes, sir. Five pack, single or box worthy?
Let's go five pack.
Five pack, really? You don't think it's box worthy?
You know, I'm smoking so much variety. That's just where I'm more comfortable at personally. I switch up my flavors way too often, or at least from like my favorites. Like I'll do a whole run of something, but I mean I'll do boxes, but I feel a little bit more versatile with the five pack, if you would.
That's fair. Dice, what you think?
The size of mine is not to my liking, but I would definitely pick up a five pack because this would be great, like a nice summer day that I have a day off, or the autumn day that I have a day off. And I can actually sit and smoke it in peace. Not saying on air is bad, but where I can actually sit down and pull all the flavor notes, make sure I have a full stomach before I start. Yeah. But I'm going to go with five pack.
Five pack. I'd be willing actually to buy a box of this.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. This thing is burned smooth. Its taste is actually pretty good. Really good. It's right up my alley with the flavor notes. I could see, you know, if I had a box of this sitting in the humidor, I'm not saying that I wouldn't rotate. But if I had a box of this in the, at the right price, I would not be upset with this.
All right.
I think it's an underrated smoke for sure.
Oh, well, maybe I need to pick up one or two.
Dice, I would recommend it. This is right up your alley, dude.
All right. I hear you. All right. For this episode, for our cigar topic, we had our wonderful Mr. Flavor King, Chaz, join us for our cigar topic. And for our leadership portion, we was talking about how does a leader measure success, a.k.a. The effectiveness of leadership. And I have to say, Chaz's inputs was great. Our show, I believe it was a phenomenal show.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Chaz, thanks again so much for coming on. All your insights was definitely spot on everything. Hopefully you enjoyed your time on the show. Thanks for sitting here smoking with us and enjoying and adding to the conversation. It's always nice to have another person to talk to other than that fuck.
No, hey guys, again, it was my pleasure. Seriously, thanks for the invite. I had a lot of fun. Right on, guys. No, I appreciate it, man, and I appreciate the information and the whole leadership topic. So that was awesome, man. Definitely gonna take that with me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, as everybody knows, we can always be reached at Leadership of the Leaf on Instagram. Hit us up if you guys have a topic or something that you guys want us to discuss or tackle. Just hit us up, let us know, and we'd be happy, more than happy, to do a show about it.
All right. Well, great leaders smoke great cigars. And until next time, I'm Dice.
I'm Austin.
And I'm Chaz Garcia, Flavor King.
Until next time, everyone. Thanks. Thank you for listening to Leadership of the Leaf. The comments and opinions expressed by the host and guests does not reflect the opinions of those that broadcast this show, nor does it reflect any of our affiliates.